Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Who has enjoyed this grit series that we've started so far? Come on. We ain't even made it out of G yet. Come on, we've been talking like this for about 5 weeks now. Of course, we had some cancellations, but Holy Spirit is doing what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. So we're just leaning into what he wants to say to us. But we are is coming. Can I tell you, R is coming. It's coming in a few weeks, but we're coming in relationships with God, relationships with ourselves, and relationships with all y'all, too, with people around us. Some of us need a helping hand in that one, don't we? But next week, I'm going to talk about your relationship with God and just say, you know, how do we view God? What do we see of God? Why? How is that distorted? How has that made you kind of either go to God or turn away from him? But this week, I'm going to talk about having a last week's message, or no, I should change that. A couple weeks ago's message was about being grounded in the type of ground that you're in or the type of ground that you are. And this week, I'm going to talk about having a strong foundation. Having a strong foundation and being grounded in prayer and in the Word. The title of my message today is Firm Foundation. We must build on a firm foundation, and what that foundation is that foundation is Jesus, and he's the rock. Why do we need to build on the rock? Because storms are coming. Things are going to happen in your life that you're going to have to be built on the firm foundation. And I recall driving down the beach at Daytona and looking around and seeing the devastation of a hurricane. And there was things where all you could see was the foundation of the pool or the foundation of the building. Everything else was gone. But they must have built that foundation very good and very deep because it was still standing. I remember when we saw a pool, like literally the pool, nothing under the pool but four pillars holding the pool up and everything else was gone. So when I saw that, it reminded me of this passage in Matthew 7. It says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." When you're driving up the beach, sometimes you'll see some really phenomenal sandcastles. Y'all ever seen one? It's like it took some people a long time to build that thing, right? Well, I remember a couple years ago, we took Bubba. He built a really nice sandcastle, but his joy was to sit there and crash and stomp on it. He stomped on every one that we built. But when you see that, you see people do it, they make it just right, they form it and they in the water and they build it because you know what happens is building in sand is so much easier. But listen, no matter how good it looks, it's ultimately going to fall. No matter how good it looks, the tide is going to come in and sweep it away. Why? Because the foundation is not steady, the foundation is not sure, and sometimes the foundation is not even existent. If you're building your Christian walk, if you're building your Christian foundation on how much you go to church, how much you pray, how much you read, how much you give, those are good, but they're kind of surface sometimes. Remember the Pharisees? Those dudes knew. They were always trying to trick Jesus up, right? But Jesus was the boss. He always got them back. But remember, they always knew the scriptures. They're always telling how much they tithed and gave. They had a lot of head knowledge. They knew the Bible front and back. They had a lot of head knowledge, but nothing of the heart. They had a lot of what's called surface religion. This morning, I'm going to tell you a story. I was working construction in Louisville, Kentucky, back 100 years ago. Young boy right out of college. I wasn't really used to a lot of manual labor, I'll be honest with you. And they offered me a job. At that time, I was making $8 an hour. Oh my gosh, I thought I was blessed and highly favored at that time. But I remember they sent me out. We were building the Kingfish over on Dixie Highway, which is actually gone now. It burnt and they rebuilt it and they did something else with it. But I remember helping them build and putting the foundation and putting the rebar, tying the rebar together, seeing concrete being put down and how that thing was actually formed. So what happened one day, we got it all formed up and y'all construction people in here, I'm not really one. So anyway, but we had it all formed, we poured it, And the next day, it came a monsoon rain. I mean, it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. What happened was, is all of the ditches around it, all the dirt went over top of all of the foundation. And since I lived a mile away, they said, hey, if you'll go over there, why did I say yes? If you'll go over there and take a shovel, I'm not talking about a little bit of shoveling. I'm talking about a whole building, probably half the size of this building. I had to go in and I had to shovel off 6 to 8 inches of top soil off the top of that thing. And man, I'll tell you what, they said, I'll pay you $10 an hour to do that. It was worth $40 an hour to do it to me. But you know, I remember after seeing that, once that building was built, I knew what the foundation of that building looked like, up close and personal. Every shoveling, every dirt, everything I threw out, I remembered exactly what that foundation looked like, up close and personal, and I knew exactly what that house stood on. Listen, we don't work on the foundation enough. Why? Because the foundation is not visible, it's not pretty, and it's not highlighted. So many times we don't work on our foundation because we don't want nobody to see what's down underneath. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Sometimes we don't want people to see what's down underneath, what's underneath all of that dirt, what's underneath all of those pain and that worry that you're in. The foundation is not seen, but it is so important. It's so important. You have to go deep and you have to be strong. And what's under the surface is what holds you. It's what holds your structure when storms come, when life happens. Why do we need a strong and steady and firm foundation? Because sand shifts. You ever be standing in the sand? All of a sudden you're at the beach and you're standing, before long you look down and your feet are gone. Anybody like the beach? I do, praise God. You look down and your feet are gone because just what it's doing, it's shifting all under you. And sometimes you don't realize it's shifted and it's covered your feet. And weather, we got to understand that weather and life change. Matthew 7:24, it says, therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You know what I see common there? Storms hit us all. It says the wise and the foolish had the same storms. Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, he who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain to the just and to the unjust. These two houses had the same experiences. And I just want to let you know that living for God doesn't mean there won't be bad storms. It doesn't mean there's not going to be bad weather. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be lollipops and flowers, because you know what? Life happens. Circumstances happen, situations happen, tragedies happen, and bad choices that we make happen. There will be trials, there will be testing, and it'll do one of two things. It'll either make you run, it'll take us back, or it'll make us fall, or it will make our faith and our foundation stronger than ever. James 1 says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, it doesn't say if, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. How many of us go, yay, there's trouble coming? No. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, say that, fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Untested faith is weak faith. Noah, I want you to build an ark. What's that? It's the size of a cruise ship. What's a ship? It never rained before. He didn't know what he was building. And then I'm going to flood the earth, and then I'm going to kill everybody else, but you have to take all the animals in. You have to. Can you imagine what faith it took for him to believe God? Abraham, I need you to get out of this country. Well, I'm comfortable here, God. I got my family here. I got my wealth here. Okay, I'll go, but where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Come on, that's the kind of faith that has a hard time sometimes. And he says, I'm going to make you, Abraham, the father of many nations. God, I'm 80 years old. I ain't even got a kid. My wife, you know, she's getting up in age. She can't have kids anymore. But he had to have faith to believe that God was going to make him the father of many nations. How about a young Mary giving birth to our Savior? The angel appears to her and says, hey, you're going to have the Son of God. I'm like 12 or 13. You talking to me? Then he says, she's like, I've never known a man. He says, don't worry about that. I got you covered. You're going to get pregnated by the Holy Ghost. Come on. It takes faith. I remember when we were building this building, we didn't have no money. We had money, but it wasn't a lot of money. I thought it was a lot of money until we started putting our time in. Until I looked at Bobby one day, I was like, I ain't got no more money left here. What are we going to do with the rest of this? But it took faith to keep building and to keep securing and keep painting and keep going in the direction. And God always showed up when we needed him. He always showed up. And there was money showing up in the bank account from people from, I think we got something from Texas one time, like $2,000. I was like, who is that person? I don't know. But God knew. Sometimes he has to test your faith to get you to the place where he needs you to be. Why does being grounded and having a strong foundation matter? Because Matthew 7:27 says this. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. If you fall, they fall. If you crumble, they crumble. If you cave, they cave. It's like the domino effect. You know, And the fall can be greater. You know what? It can be greater than you think because your family, your friends, your coworkers, they're all watching how you're living your life. They're all watching what you're doing. And listen, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you have to watch what you say. So you have to watch what you do. Sometimes you have to watch how you present something. I'm talking to Richard Watson this morning, y'all. Sometimes you have to watch and be who you are around your family because you could cause them to fall. Wise people build on the rock, and that's Jesus. What grounds makes our foundation stronger? Our foundations are made strong because of our beliefs, and our beliefs are what's accepted and true. We stand on the truth in a world full of doubt. Come on, in a world full of doubt. Word of God is a strong foundation. The things that make us stronger are values. They're the principles and standards of behavior or what's important to us. Another thing is choices and decisions that we made. The choices we make can affect our building ability, either good or bad. The choices we made may have cost us relationships, may have cost us time, may have cost us resources. But can I tell you something this morning? It's a new day. Come on, it's a new day. With God, every day can be a new day. It said his mercies are renewed each and every day. Jesus, our rock, thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that each day we can wake up with a fresh look at our lives. And so many times we take what's yesterday into today, and we can't see what he has for us today or even tomorrow because of yesterday. Jesus, the rock, our foundation, made the choice to cancel out all of our bad choices. He paid the price to rebuild our lives on a firm foundation, and we can choose to make good decisions from now on. That's our choice. Making our foundation strong and solid and having a sure foundation will keep you steady when things happen. But it's going to take some work, some W-O-R-K. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some weathering of the storms of life. It's going to take trusting in God. Trusting God, my Savior, the one who never fails. Come on, there's times when you got to trust him when everything seems like it's failing around you, when everything seems like it's not going the way. We have to trust in him because he is the one that will sustain us. Most of all, God has to be our firm foundation. There's an old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come on, good times and rough times, we have the promises of God to stand on. Hebrews 6:19 says this. The hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. God is calling us to go all in, even when the storms hit, even when the current is strong, even when life is crashing. He's calling us to go all in. We have a firm foundation, and we must be grounded in the Word daily. Why is the Word important? Pastor Minnie, a few weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks ago it's been, but she challenged the church, and half of y'all got up here and said, hey, I'm going to start reading. Huh? Three quarters of the church got up and said, I'm going to start reading the Bible in a year. I'm going to start reading my Bible. And we were so encouraged by that. But the Word, but. We were encouraged by that. We have to understand why we needed to be grounded in the Word. Because you know why? The Word is the truth. Listen to this. Today in America, many believe that there are no moral absolutes. There's really no right. There's really no wrong. Many hold a philosophy of saying, of moral relativism. I said that right. Nobody is subjectively right. Come on, we live in a whacked out world right now. Or wrong. And everyone ought to tolerate the behavior of others, even though the majority of society disagrees with it. How many times have you heard this? What's right for me may not be right for you. If it feels good, this is an old one. If it feels good, do it. Nothing is really right or wrong. There are just different opinions. All these are a result of the feeling that there is no absolute truth. You are entitled to your truth, and I'm entitled to my truth. But can I say to you this morning, the truth is still the truth, whether you want to believe the truth or not. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth of Jesus, and the truth shall make you free. So if there's freedom that comes in truth, then let's explore some truth in his word. What does his word do for us? 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Yes, man wrote the Bible. I've heard so many people, man, it's got so many. But it was inspired by God. And is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You must be committed to the word because Psalm says this, Psalms 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path, because your word lights up those dark places. We live in a dark world that we need light to be shed on this. We need to be grounded in the word because it gives you direction. His word is our GPS. Amen. Y'all ever had a bad GPS trip? Turn left. Oh, hold on a minute. U-turn. No, go right. Hold on a minute. You're going. We went to Miami, and I swear the GPS was so whacked out in Miami. Every time I turned around, I was having to do some kind of a U-turn. But sometimes when we get outside of the word of God, it's our GPS. It gives us directions, and it grounds us and orders our steps. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. It doesn't say how many steps it's going to take to get from point A to point B. Our lives, you've heard me say this before, our lives are a bunch of zigzags, right? Oh, here we go, A. Oh, let's go to C. Here we're going right over here to A. Back. Oh, wait a minute. We're going back to A. Hold on a minute. Here's C again. There's F. There's G. Let's go back to C. He doesn't say how many steps it's going to take. God intended us through Jesus to take a normal path, a good path, to follow him in everything that we do. The choices that we make in life keep us zigzagging all over the place sometimes, and we don't even know how we got to the places that we got to sometimes. It doesn't say how many it will take, but I'll let you know that the word works. Because Isaiah 55:11 says, it's the same with my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. We need to pray his word back to him. So many times, I'm going to talk about prayer here in a minute. The Bible says his word does not go out void. We must be grounded in the word daily. And because we're grounded in the word, it's our weapon. Do you know the word is our weapon? Look at Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you look at all of those things, all of the other equipment is for defense. The helmet protects us. The shield protects the shoes and the belt and the breastplate. But what happens is, I say that we've been on defensive too long, been wearing all the armor, and we have the word of God that we can hold on to. We have the word of God that we can wield at any time. Sometimes we just have to understand that we have a powerful weapon in our hand. It's our sword, it's our defense. The word is our weapon. Jesus used this word weapon very well. When he was in the wilderness with the devil, hey man, I'll give you all this. If you just worship me, man, you have it all, Jesus. All you gotta do is worship me. Jesus three times said, "It is written." He had to remind the devil that he had already defeated him. Sometimes we gotta remind the devil he's already defeated. Even though we don't see the battle, even though we don't see the victory, he's already defeated. When the enemy tells you this is true, he tells you that you're a failure. He tells you that you'll always be this way. The word says you are an overcomer. You are a child of God, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When the devil tells you you're guilty, quote 1 John 1:9 to him. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If you feel worthless this morning, you need to understand that the word says that you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. If you feel abandoned this morning, you got to understand that you are adopted into the family, that you are a joint heir with Jesus. You're no longer neglected. You're no longer an outcast. If you need healing, sometimes you just got to say, "By his stripes, I am healed." Being grounded in the word gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding and how to deal with the trials and temptations and valleys of life. The word works just like a diet, just like exercise. You have to do it. You have to not eat the stuff you used to eat. You have to work out a little bit more. It works that when you apply it and you stick to it. Here's some practical things. Thank you for some practical things, Pastor Rich. Memorize some scripture and use it to defeat the lies and attacks of the enemy daily. Jesus said it's written. I think that you need to know what's written, and you need to memorize you a few scriptures when you're going down. When you need that word, when he's coming against you, you need to be able to have some kind of word to say, "No, the Bible says this. The Bible says that, devil." This morning, I'm asking you to increase your relationship by developing your relationship with him. Get in the word. You got to read and absorb the word. And that what she had talked about, three quarters of the church doing it, get a good Bible plan, a structured one, a consistent one, and plan on reading it each and every day. If you miss a day, you're not going to hell. If you miss 3 days, you might be going to hell. Just kidding. Some of you new people like, "This guy's really crazy." But if you miss a couple of days, make up for it. But find a consistent plan to read through the Bible. Listen to this other one. Pray before reading. Amen. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, "What do you want me to..." I heard somebody say the other day, "I can't really understand the Bible." Start praying. Say, "God, you know I don't understand the Bible. There's too many this's and thou's and these," and especially if you use the King James Version. "But I want you to take me and I want you to come into my mind and into my heart and help me to absorb these scriptures. Help me to understand what you really want to say." You start praying that prayer, he's going to open up that Bible to you like you've never seen it before. You're going to start seeing passages and you just ain't going to know what to do if you start praying beforehand. Oh, here's a good one. Eliminate distractions. Find that quiet place. Find that space. Avoid interruptions. Put your phone. When I go in my office, I try to put my phone over on the other desk. Because if I don't put it over on the other desk, it's always buzzing or something's happening. But put technology aside and say, "This is the time right now that I want your word to speak to me." And listen, read slowly. You don't got to read 14 chapters a day. Sometimes one verse can change the whole day. But read it. Let it absorb and read it thoroughly. And underline, I brought my old Bible out about 3 or 4 months ago. It's not a sin to write in your Bible. Listen, y'all don't know, I was raised very religious. Oh, that's God's holy word. Well, this one here, is, oh Lord, this has got so many highlighted places in it, so many things circled. But it's not a sin to get your old Bible out, and when you're reading the word, and when you're reading it, underline something, circle something, and go back to look at it again. Ask questions of yourself and from other people, and get into a Bible study group if that's what you need. Because other people may have different insights, and they'll help you to understand what you may not understand. And here's the thing, you may be good for them too. Get into a good Bible study group. Here's the one that I tell people, and I do this sometimes going down the road. On your phone, you have an audio Bible. Let it talk to you. Put it on it. I'm sorry. Put it on and let it talk to you. So many times I've just been going down the road and I don't listen to music when I'm going down the road. It's just dead silence. And finally I just say, you know what, let's just put the Bible on and see what it's saying. And it has spoke to me as I'm going down the road. Find a place to listen. Get a few verses to meditate. And to have a firm foundation, we also must be grounded in prayer. Prayer has to be often, not occasional. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That one used to get me all the time. I was like, God, God, thank you, Jesus, right now. Yeah, you can ring that up. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm going to Walmart. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Used to be that was like, what are you talking about, prayer without ceasing? I can't pray all day long. But our prayers need to be consistent with the Father. Martin Luther says this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. If you're not grounded, if we're not grounded to God through prayer, it's like a boat that's lost its anchor. It's no longer where it should be. It's drifting aimlessly around, and wherever the tide seems to take it, wherever the waves take it. That's why you have to pray without ceasing. And you can pray anywhere, but there's something about a special place. There's something about a special time that you set aside for prayer. My wife prays in her car because she says that's where she can connect with God. It could be anywhere. Prayer can be anywhere. But I do believe you have to have that. I heard some people said they love to pray in the shower. They feel like that God's not washing them clean and washing them clean. But the place and time are important. What that does when you have a place and a time, it builds expectation of truly meeting God in that place. Have a set time for reading. Have a set time for the word. But also, here's the big one. Have an attitude of prayer during the day when situations happen, when circumstances happen, when life happens. Be able to say, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but I need you to help me right now. I just heard of a situation where somebody said that, you know, right in the middle of they'd said something they shouldn't have said, and they stopped dead in the middle of saying it and said, forgive me for that. I did not mean that. I shouldn't have said that. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that. What does an attitude of prayer do for you? It helps you to be grateful for everything that God has done for you. It helps us to remember how good God has been. Oh, it helps us to put God first and give up our belief that we're in control. Come on. We live our lives so wanting this and wanting that and having the control over this. And sometimes an attitude of prayer says, okay, God, whatever happens today, I believe that you're going to take me where I need to be. You're going to help me get through the situations I need to get through. Those are the things we got to get our hands off the wheel sometimes. What it does, we have to create good habits and things about prayer. Here's some practical things. Keep it real. God already knows. Come on. He already knows what you're about to pray. But so many times we're afraid to become real with God. So I think what we need to do is just say, God, this is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking. These are my emotions right now. Because God, I'll let you know, He's not afraid of your stuff. Because he already knows your stuff. He just wants you to hear you confess or to believe that he's going to take away your stuff. Keep it honest. Don't pray what you think God wants to hear. Don't be thankful when you're not thankful. Don't be thankful when you're really upset. God wants to hear when you're upset. He wants to be able to mend the brokenhearted and hear exactly what you're going through. Or be grateful for his peace when you're not feeling peace. Yeah. Oh, God, thank you that I'm peaceful, but all hell's breaking loose in my life. That's when we need to go, okay, God, all hell's breaking loose in my life. I don't have any peace. I need to know how I can get my peace back. Yeah. Tell him what you're actually thinking because he knows, and this is a big one. Keep it simple. We like to make things more difficult than what they need to be. You also need to have the urge to impress others by looking and sounding better than what you really are. You don't need to impress God with flowery words. There are times when we should really press into God because the Bible says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's times when you got to get on your knees and fervently pray, but mostly talk to him as a friend. Just let your words come out. Just be you. You can't mess it up. Say exactly what's inside of your heart because he wants to hear that. Here's a good one right now for prayer meeting. Keep it short. Long prayers are okay. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But they're not required to be long. Don't randomly add things or pad your prayers to make them a certain length. God just wants to hear from you. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting? Somebody pray for 10 minutes. They pray the same prayer every 3 minutes. It's the same thing. And they add all these words to it. And you're thinking, oh my gosh. And then I also what I do, I used to go to prayer meetings and I don't consider myself the greatest prayer warrior in the world, but I would hear people pray and I would get intimidated. Oh man, I wish I could pray like that. God gave you your abilities. He gave someone else their abilities. And you don't have to stretch these prayers out and add flowery language to it. God says whether your words are few or they're many, he's hearing them. It doesn't have to be showy. And prayer is not entertainment. It's a time of fellowship with God. Come on. That's not entertainment. We're not here to entertain God. It's the time to have fellowship with him. Here's the big one. I don't even know if these are up here or not. Anyway, be a better listener. We like to talk, but we don't like to listen. We were here during prayer, during the last corporate prayer, Charles was saying, we had a time of, I think we sat 5 minutes. Nobody said a word. It was so very awkward. It was also so, he said, I got a revelation. He sent me this 16-page long thing that was so good. And he said, I got a revelation during that 5 minutes that you had us all be quiet. Sometimes we just need a time to say, okay, God, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to turn the distractions off. I'm going to turn the music off. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to listen to what you have to say to me. Ways to have a more effective prayer is, again, like I said, reduce the noise and the distractions. And pray when your spirit is quiet and your mind is focused. Have a specific time. Maybe just like a fast day of the week. And here's the big one. You have to let go of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness keeps your prayer hindered. We have to release someone. Luke 6:28 says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. And we must incorporate the word of God into our prayers. Father, your word says that you are not willing that anyone should perish. So I pray for my family right now, God. I pray for my kids to be saved. I pray for my relatives to be saved. I pray for my coworkers to be saved. Because you said you didn't want anyone to perish. Father, your word says that by your stripes we are healed. God, I am believing for physical healing. I'm believing for mental healing. I'm believing for emotional healing. I'm believing for all those things because you said it, God. Being grounded and building on a firm foundation cannot be done by your own strengths. You ever see these build-it-yourself kits? You don't want me to build you anything. Just ask Bobby. Measure twice, cut once. That's not me. It's measure 14 times, cut once, and cut it wrong. And usually it's crooked, but I'll tell you what, I'm a boss at tearing it out. You want some destruction to happen? I can destruct. I just can't construct. But Psalm says this, 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. God has to be our firm foundation. What we have to do is we have to give him the blueprints of our life and say, God, I want to build on your foundation. We must allow the master builder to build and continue to build our lives. Why? Because Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing. You've heard this before. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will finish what he started. You got to keep walking. You got to keep working. You got to keep making your foundation solid. And it starts on the inside and it works its way outside. What God does on the inside will start showing up on the outside. When you start building your foundation strong, people are going to start saying, man, he don't walk the same way he used to walk. He don't talk the way he used to walk. Those words ain't coming out of his mouth anymore. It's because you started building your foundation, and what happens on the inside comes into the outside. Start working on making your foundation strong. Keep building. Here's a big one. Don't discount the small, seemingly insignificant things that God is doing. So many times we're looking for the grandiose. We're looking for, oh my gosh, God, you need to do this. But God and Holy Spirit is reminding you that you're not where you used to be. He's reminding me there's a lot of things that have happened in your life that you've already won the battle over, and it may not be big, but sometimes we diminish it. We make it because it's not big. It's not compared to someone else's huge bigness. That's not even a word, is it? Don't diminish or discount anything that God has already done in your lives. Young people, don't diminish it because you're young. Don't diminish it because God's got a plan in your life. And don't let the enemy tell you because of your age, because of maybe your inexperience. Don't let him tell you that, because it's wrong and it's a lie. Keep working on the building. Dig deep. Stay planted and sink your feet in and put your anchor down somewhere. Whether it's in church, whether it's this church or wherever you decide to go, put your anchor down. And look what he's building in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But I don't really feel new. Have become new. I've said this before. We've said this many times here. This is a process that you're in. You can't stop the process. You have to keep going forward. He's becoming and making you something new each day. And I love this, because God doesn't rebuild us with the same old stones, same old bricks, the same old material. He builds us with new material. We are not made over. We are made new. So many times we're happy with being made over. Oh, okay, he fixed this and he screwed. God is ultimate design for your life is to make you new. Again, is that a process? Is that something that you're going to have to work through? Yes. But that's ultimately where he wants to take us to. Let's all stand if we would, please. I asked this morning, who would want to start getting a new foundation or a firm foundation with Jesus? When you commit your life to Jesus Christ, it starts the process, as I said again, of building a foundation in him. Is this an easy process? Nope. Is this one that may take some time? Yes. Is this one that's going to take some work? Yes. But how you ultimately start that process is if you've not ever made a decision to follow Jesus, that's your very first step in the process. Sometimes we have to understand, we just got to come to God and say, God, let's all bow our heads into place this morning. Sometimes we just have to come to God and say, God, I've been trying to build my own life. I've been trying to build my own dreams and things I want. I've never really tried to build on you. And I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I realize, God, that you are the one that I need in my life. Will you please forgive me for my sins? Will you please forgive me for the times I've just trespassed against you? God, will you come in and you make me new? I don't want to repair, God. I want a full makeover with you. Make me a new creation. I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe, Jesus, you died for me, and I accept you into my heart. If you prayed some form of that prayer, God's starting that firm foundation process in you. And that's where it starts, right there with that prayer. Maybe your foundation has been on Jesus, but you've kind of felt it shifting a little bit over time. Maybe you've not firmed it up as much as you can, but listen, God is the God of mercies renewed each day, as I said. So Father, I come to you right now and I just ask you to help me shore up my foundation again. I've been tossed to and fro. I've not laid my anchor down, and I've allowed myself to drift and go every which direction, but in the direction you wanted me to go in. If one of those two things have kind of hit home with you, we're going to have someone on the left and someone on the right up here to agree and pray with you. And these altars are going to be open during this next song. And I'm going to ask you just to say, take that step out. Sometimes that step from the seat to the front is a freeing thing. It'll help you build a firmer foundation. But if you feel more comfortable in your seat, God can meet you wherever you're at, wherever you are. So Father, I thank you for that, Jesus. I just ask you today, that Holy Spirit, to have your way. And whatever you want to do, you do, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.